on the top floor, but there were at least three more men, generally lounging around in the taproom or kitchens. Then someone entered the kitchen through the far door, and the singing stopped. Lori, halfway up the first flight of stairs, hesitated and looked behind her.
Someone!
Get the others, I'll deal.
Go on, Lori. Go now!
The blonde picked her way up the stairs, vanishing just as the door into the hallway opened. And Jedediah Hernando Rodriguez walked out. He was wearing the same purple shirt as when they'd first met. The little pistol was in his belt, with the pretty stiletto. His limpid brown eyes clicked wide as he saw Christy standing there alone.
What art thou? Where's the Sekhmen? Thou wilt find trouble if thou dost rock the boat by...
The big 38 filled the woman's hand, the chrome gleaming in the soft light of the oil lamps lining the wall.
How did... Where?
His face went white as linen, and for a moment Christy thought he was going to fall over in a faint. But he recovered, leaning one hand on the closed door to steady himself. Christy raised the gun toward the landlord's throat. If she pulled the trigger, he'd be blown apart. But the killing would bring the other Sekhmen rushing in on them.
A word and you're dead.
What does thou want, mistress?
Your toy blaster and the knife.
She held out her hand, taking the derringer and slipping it in a pocket of her coat, feeling the cold metal of the dagger's hilt in her left palm. She beckoned the man closer, keeping the blaster under his chin to force his head back.
Sekhmen, how many and where?
Three in the snug, sleeping, two of them. Two at the front, and one by the back gate. But the road's out of the veil swoon with them, mistress. Best give up now and take the judgment, or be cut down as thou runnest.
Christy nodded. The landlord could taste the scent of excitement on her skin, like a feral musk. The scarlet hair seemed to his terrified eyes to be moving gently around her shoulders, as if it had a life of its own. But that wasn't possible. Her closeness aroused him, and he could feel the tentative beginnings of an erection nudging at his breeches.
Art thou breaking out? I'll help thee. I can show thee paths out of the veil. A secret. Nobody knows.
Christie's preternaturally sharp hearing picked up the sound of steps moving cautiously down the creaking stairs from the high attic. Time was slipping by perilously fast. She took the knife and delicately placed the point an inch within Rodriguez's right nostril. His head jerked back farther, neck sinews straining, trying to get away from the sharp steel. A tiny, frail worm of blood inched from his nose, over his broad, sensuous lips.
Please! Please! Spare me, mistress! I had to do it! She did kill me!
So will I.
She drove the long-bladed stiletto deep into the innkeeper's head. The man's weight slid off his feet, almost tearing the dagger from her hand. Then he fell to the floor, his hands reaching up and clutching her knees. A dark patch of damp spread across his trousers. Blood frothed over his mouth, and he struggled to speak. To her right, Christy saw JB leading the others, pausing on the steps, watching the tableau.
I never saw the ring my mother gave me. She died thinking I had, but I never wanted her. Didn't want to rock
the boat.
Christy straightened and wiped the stiletto on the dead man's bright, shiny shirt. Captain Deacon was in his 50s, a tall, straight-backed man with neatly trimmed white hair, framing a face of ruddy honesty and good humor. He insisted that his crew all wear scarlet sweaters and black pants while on board the Phoenix. Everything had gone well, with supplies loaded and the water barrels filled on time. The entire crew was aboard, and all were sober. The tide was rising, and within the half hour, Captain Deacon was ready to give the order to cast off the shorelines and set sail for the whaling grounds of the Atlantic. Then the outlanders came ghosting up the gangplank, like creatures from a nightmare, armed to the teeth, with blasters that totally outgunned anything he had on his ship. It was no contest. Christy explained it very simply and very quickly, so there wouldn't be any misunderstandings between them.
Pyrrhic-Quads lifted a friend of mine. Two friends, you heard?
I heard. One-eyed outlander and the Indian harpooner are scored 10 from 10, cast in the iron. Yeah, I heard about it. And I heard about ye five.
We're taking you and your ship, and we're going after Ryan and Donphil. And we'll get them and chill the woman. You get the ship back after you bring us safe to land here.
If I don't,
I wasn't raised to waste time on people pretending to be stupid, Captain Deacon. You know what happens. Everyone knows.
Too few of us to fuck around. We chill, Captain. Next man refuses, we chill him. Keep chilling till someone says yeah. Won't take long.
Doc stepped closer, his trusty Lama in his gnarled fist, its scattergun barrel yawning like a war wag's exhaust.
I trust you will believe me, Captain Deacon, when I tell you that we truly wish you no harm at all. But our dear friend Ryan and the Apache Wise Man have fallen into the hands of the Wicked Woman of the Seven Seas. We wish to rescue them and ensure that she does not live to stain the good name of womanhood for another day. If you assist us in this, then there will be no trouble and no man harmed. If you do not...
Doc shrugged his shoulders expressively.
Can you promise to chill the Witch Queen of the Atlantic?
Yes.
Sure and certain? If I help ye and Piraquad wins out, then I'm dead meat. I'll be walking around, but I'll be deader than a sharkskin hat.
Christie didn't dare to look back. It could only be a matter of minutes before someone found the corpse of Rodriguez and the unconscious Sekhmen. Then the hue and cry would begin, and it wouldn't take long for the hunt to lead to the docks. It would be a bloody firefight. JB was thinking the same.
You got 10 seconds, Captain. Set sails and go after the woman now, or I chill you now.
The captain glanced at the sky. Stars peeked through the ragged curtain of cold, salt mist.
Never liked the bitch anyways. Loose lines, Mr. Mate. Bowline and hold one stern line. Set to gallants. Mainsails when we reach the channel. Let go forward and aft on my command. Lively now!
So the whaling ship Phoenix moved slowly away from the quay of Claggartville into the dark waters of the Atlantic Ocean, hunting not her usual prey, but going after something far more deadly. Christie and the others took over the captain's quarters, making sure that they kept it secure with their blasters. But Deacon didn't seem concerned about the way they had hijacked his vessel, going about his business with a calm, unflustered efficiency. And the crew took their lead from him. The weather was kind, and Deacon knew from experience where Piraquad was likely to have gone. It wasn't many days out from port before they heard the shout from the lookout in the crow's nest, high above the deck.
Sail ho! Sail on the port beam! A ship!
Captain Quad stood with legs spread against the pitching of the short westerly sea.
Canst thou make her?
No, ma'am! Dark hull! Can't make her engine at this distance!
She bellowed him down, glancing around, her eyes falling on Ryan. Her face lightened, her smile showing the hideous false teeth, which were worse than any plastents he'd ever seen.
Outlander Carter, thou hast more seeing in thy one good glim than these awful with their brace. Take the spyglass and get aloft. Tell me what thou seest there.
Ryan slipped off his sea boots, taking the telescope with a muttered word of assent. The ship was rolling in the swell with an uncomfortable chopping motion, but he knew well enough what a refusal would mean. As he had no desire to be tied naked to the mast for the woman to use for her pleasure, he climbed as nimbly as he could into the spidery rigging. He drew a deep breath of relief as he reached the relative safety of the crosstrees, swinging across to the narrow barrel of the crow's